WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Wednesday. Yes, it is hump day already. The week is flying by. It's a messy one out there today, folks. Yes, the snow is coming down pretty tough, but we're going to keep you warm with the hot edition of Current Sports today. Folks, it's going to be a fun one. We'll dive into the Michigan State and Penn State men's basketball game that will be taking place tonight at 7 p.m. out at the Breslin Center. And we'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to that game. Find out how you can win in just a sec. We'll also be talking about Tom Izzo rethinking his whole summer training program. And yes, you know it's coming. This whole Deflategate situation that is going on with the New England Patriots. It's actually our Barbershop Wednesday topic, folks. And also the NCAA is investigating close to 20 schools for academic misconduct. We'll explain and so much more. But first, let's start the show like we always do. Here's my man, Darren Harris, with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this January 21st.
I'm Darian Harris, and these are the Current Sports Quick Headliners for today, Wednesday, January 21st. Michigan State looks to make a little bit of history today in their 400th game at the Breslin Center. The Spartans are hoping to bounce back against Penn State after a big loss at Maryland on Saturday. Captains Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine called a players-only practice yesterday in hopes of regrouping.
We just wanted to focus on us, and me and Travis wanted to get better as leaders, being a leader and how to handle things, you know, when the coaches aren't there, so we can take that on the floor.
Spartans will be favored in the next six games as they try to get back on track and make their 18th consecutive NCAA tournament appearance. Despite the absence of Caris LeVert and other injuries and illnesses that had Derek Walton Jr., Ricky Doyle, and Cameron Chapman hobbled, the Wolverines pulled out a 54-50 win at Rutgers on Tuesday night.
Walton for three. His second in a row, and Michigan takes the lead outside of 4 minutes.
The Wolverines had 11 different players make an appearance in the game, with Aubrey Dawkins scoring 11 points in his first career start and Walton chipping in 12. Kentucky stayed undefeated yesterday as the number one Wildcats took on Vanderbilt, winning 65-57 and making their unpolished record 18-0. The Wildcats' key players were twin brothers Aaron and Andrew Harrison that kept Vanderbilt from blemishing their record. The brothers put in a combined 19 points, with 14 coming from Aaron. Kentucky will be in South Carolina on Saturday, January 25th, against the Gamecocks. This is Coach John Calipari's second-best start of a season since he has been coaching at Kentucky, and his fourth time starting 18-0 or higher in a season. The Pistons look to rebound tonight against the Orlando Magic after losing to the Atlanta Hawks 93-82 on Monday. The Magic are coming off a 127-99 loss to the Thunder on Sunday. Pistons are 11-3 in their last 14, and two of three losses have come to the Eastern Conference leading Atlanta Hawks. Detroit is 1.5 games behind Brooklyn for the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. The Detroit Red Wings defeated the Minnesota Wild last night 5-4 in a shootout. Detroit is heading into the All-Star break, having won 5 straight games, and the Wings are 1 point out of first place in the Eastern Conference. The Wings blew a 4-1 lead in the third period, but managed to hang on and defeat the Wild. Detroit is off for a week, returning to play against the Florida Panthers on the 27th. Former Cass Tech star quarterback and Michigan State commit, Jeru Campbell, was released from prison this morning as scheduled after serving his 7-month sentence. Campbell walked out of Wayne County Jail at approximately 8 o'clock this morning with both of his parents. Hours after his previous jail sentence was completed in September, he pushed his then-girlfriend down in a stairwell and took her cell phone, resulting in a probation violation, sending him back until this morning. After an initial investigation by the NFL, according to ESPN's reports, 11 out of the 12 footballs used by the New England Patriots in their 45-7 win over the Indianapolis Colts were underinflated by 2 pounds. Per league regulations, footballs must be inflated to no less than 12.5 pounds per square inch. According to reports, after Colts linebacker DeQuell Jackson intercepted Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in the second quarter, he told the Colts equipment manager that the footballs did not feel as inflated as they usually do, thus launching Deflategate. The NCAA's head of enforcement told the Chronicle's Brad Wolverton that it is investigating 20 schools for academic misconduct. According to the report, The cases being investigated are in various stages, from preliminary inquiry to schools waiting to hear back from the Committee on Infractions. Some of the alleged infractions concern student athletes receiving impermissible assistance from professors, academic advisors, or people not connected with an athletic department. The NCAA declined to name any of the schools that are in the investigation, but says 18 of them are in Division I, with one each in Division II and Division III. And those are your current sport headliners. Phone lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Darian. Really appreciate that. Darian is actually a part of the outstanding group of students that we have this semester working hands-on with us here at Current Sports Radio and Television. Shout out to Darian Harris. He's also an MSU linebacker. How about that? So, Darian Harris, you're doing a great job, my man, as well as to all of the other students. Folks, we've got a sizzling hot show for you today. Of course, everyone seems to be talking about, as you just heard, Deflategate. And it's gaining so much steam and so much headway that, hey, it would be a crime to ignore it on today's show. We actually have dubbed it our Barbershop Wednesday topic. So we're going to ask you all to call in. And you guys have heard about this story, Deflategate. And we're asking, should the air be let out of the Pat season? Because, you know, if you look at this whole situation, for me, I'm going to try to sort of bite my tongue right now and save a few of my thoughts and opinions for when we really dive into this discussion, because there are a lot of layers to this onion that I think need to be peeled back and revealed just a little bit, folks. Just a little bit, because I think there's a bit of over-exaggeration mixed with some legit concerns as well. So, again, if you want to weigh on Deflategate, clever name, right? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Just talking about our headliners really briefly, I want to give a shout-out to J. Rue Campbell. Thank goodness the young man is now out of jail. Again, he was released from jail today, this morning to be exact, after serving his seventh-month sentence. J. Rue Campbell, of course, was a staple of conversation for many days on this show because he was such a highly touted recruit at Cass Tech, an outstanding young talent at the quarterback position who was a Michigan State football commit. But due to some anger issues and numerous issues off the field, those dreams kind of went poof, and you saw a downward spiral occur within this young man's life. I hate. Is this one thing I hate the most, folks? It's just seeing a young man who has so much potential in life and seeing that potential squandered due to a lack of guidance. And I think that's one of the staples in J. Rue's life. I hope he gets things together now, but he was released from jail today, this morning, after serving that seven-month sentence. I really hope he gets things together. All right, folks. Well, again, we're asking you all to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are actually going to go with caller number one. Caller number one, the first caller who calls into the show, will actually win a pair of tickets to go check out the MSU men's basketball game tonight. Michigan State will try to bounce back from that road loss against Maryland, which took place on Saturday, and will take on the winless in conference, I should say, the only winless in conference team in Penn State. Tonight, 7 p.m., Breslin Center. If you want to go, take a friend, 517-355-9527. Also, really briefly here, I want to remind you all that each and every Wednesday night, we tape Current Sports TV. And tonight, again, I'm sitting down with a mid-Michigan sporting legend. Heck, a Michigan sporting legend for that matter. He actually holds now the record for the most high school basketball games coached in sporting history here in the state of Michigan. Bob Anderson, how about that? He is right now the girls basketball coach for the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. And Bob will be joining me tonight. How about that? He will be braving that weather to make that 40-minute drive right here on the campus of Michigan State University. He's such a great guy. You talk about class. I mean, he is the epitome of classy, folks. So, again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, we have a few actually signed up right now. Just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. All right. Well, before I begin the discussion of everything that we're going to talk about today, of course, our Barbershop Wednesday is going to be centered on Deflategate. We'll get to all of that in just a sec. I want to start the show by previewing that Michigan State and Penn State game tonight. Can Michigan State crawl itself out of the stagnant hole? I don't even call it a hole, really. I mean, because there's still in contention in many ways here, with it being just the start, still the start of Big Ten play. But they look to rebound off a road loss to Maryland against a winless Penn State team. To join me on that discussion, I now invite the man behind the glass, our engineer for Current Sports, Alex Shark. Happy Hump Day, brother.
Yeah, it's pretty cold outside, man. So if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm chilly today.
Yeah, you know what? And for me, man, on days like this, every day, really, I've become a coffee addict. Like, I cannot function without coffee now, Alex. I've hit that point where I need that caffeine. And, you know, I went down to Sparty's, like 10 minutes before we started the show. And it was so packed in there with students and everyone. And they're all out of coffee, dude. So I'm a little grumpy today, man. You can't tell because I always put on a smile. And, you know,
there you go.
But I'm a little I'm a little grumpy when I don't get my coffee. But
yeah,
it's
you can't hear
day.
It.
You can't hear it, though. I'm always, yeah, you can't hear it. But, you know, I'm a little grumpy inside just because I don't have that caffeine. I'll
but, hey,
that
it's really snowy outside. And
it is, man.
I had some trouble getting in today from Lansing. But I hope that doesn't affect the attendance tonight in a crucial game for Michigan State basketball.
Exactly. That's the big question here, you know, because on nights like this, or days like this, I should say, of course, the game is taking place at night. I mean, a lot of people may rather watch it at home, you know, snuggle up in a blankie and just check out time and the squad do their thing on their flat screen. So it's going to be interesting to see the attendance and evaluate it. And I'm sure Tom Izzo, if it is a big crowd tonight, which I expect it to be, Spartan fans are pretty loyal. Tom Izzo will probably give them a shout out in the post game presser, but we'll see. But, you know, to give a quick preview of this game, Alex, you know, Penn State is the only team without a win in the Big Ten. I think this is the perfect game for Michigan State to build some confidence and to sort of steamroll a stretch of wins here, possibly. Now, after this game, they take on Nebraska and Rutgers on the road, and then they play Michigan, which is not that great, at home. So, you know, I expect them to get a win against a Penn State squad that isn't that great. Again, they are the only team that hasn't recorded a win in conference. This is a game, this is an ideal game for Michigan State to get back on track. To break down a few things here, Michigan State has got to shoot better from the arc because, again, ideally that's one of the, if there is an identity for this team, they can definitely shoot it from deep, and it's something they have relied on throughout multiple games this year. They are shooting right now 40% from the arc on the year. That's the best percentage in the Big Ten. On the contrary, Penn State can't defend the arc. They actually allow opponents a conference high to shoot 42% from the arc. So Michigan State, if you're going to get out of this hole, this is the ideal team that matches your strengths as opposed to their weaknesses. Point blank, period. And going back to Penn State's last game, I mean, my goodness. I mean, you're looking at it, how they, you know, to put in perspective how bad they are at defending that three-point line. If you remember, Chris Stevens went 6-for-12 from deep. He had 22 points. He had the game-tying three ball for that squad, which, again, eventually ended up beating Penn State. So Michigan State, this is the type of game that you want to get things back on track and get the wheels moving again. Free throws, of course. I mean, you know, the elephant in the room. They got to shoot better from the line. They are dead last in the Big Ten from the free throw line, shooting a dismal 63.2%. And you know what? This team right now, if they continue on this pace, Alex, they have the potential of being the worst Tom Izzo coach team in the history of his tenure. In the history of his tenure. It's actually worse than the 96 and 97 year where Michigan State actually shot 65%. And, you know, and Tom Izzo was pulling out his hair then. But they're actually shooting worse than that right now. So I'm pretty sure they're spending a lot of time in the gym shooting free throws. Interesting quote from Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo talked about, you know, the free throw shooting problem that this team has. He admitted, I mean, of course, it's a glaring problem on this team. And he cited it even going back. It's kind of like the Kobe Bryant conversation that we had when talking about AAU. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that feel as though AAU basketball is not helping kids who want to further their careers on the hardwood. it's not furthering their careers in doing that because it's not teaching them and honing the fundamentals of the game. And Tom Izzo talked about, you know, his team not being great from the free throw line. And he said that, quote, kids don't have the fundamentals due to AAU basketball and numerous other factors. So interesting comments, though, from him. And, yeah, they got to shoot better from the line, though. But I do expect them to come out and win this game, though, Alex.
Yeah, some other aspects you ignored about tuning to the strengths. This team turns the ball over. Last game against Purdue, 17 turnovers. So a team like Michigan State that relies a lot on transition basketball, that could definitely play to their advantage. However,
yeah.
Al,
yeah.
There's one guy on Penn State you have to look out for. And I haven't watched Penn State a lot this year. I've watched some Maryland. I've watched some Nebraska, some Iowa. Haven't watched Penn State. But looking at what DJ Newbill has done this season and dropping 37, yes, 37 points last game against Purdue, that's a guy that they have to look out for. They faced their troubles with Melo Tribble from Maryland. So I'm interested to see if they can contain a scorer like DJ Newbill this game. But certainly in the past, they shut down Teron Petway last year from Nebraska. They've shut down some Ohio State scorers in the past. But it's going to be a big test because last game against Maryland, they had a tough time defending Melo Tribble. And with DJ Newbill, 37 points, Al, 37. That's going to be quite a test for Michigan State basketball. And also, to knock onto it, something that also might attune to Michigan State strengths, this team shoots really well from the free throw line. They shot 81% from the line last game. So they have to make sure that, one, they can contain DJ Newbill, and two, they don't get into foul trouble and start fouling this Penn State Nittany Lions team, who is lethal from the free throw line.
For me, the key guy to look at in this game that I'm going to be totally focused on is Travis Trice. Travis Trice coming off a game where he was tremendously outplayed by that guy, Melo Tribble, throughout the entire game. Travis Trice, a guy who only took about 3 shots the entire first half of the game. You know, after coming off a week in which he was named the Big Ten Player of the Week, you know what I mean? Travis Trice did not look like himself on Saturday, folks. So I expect him to play better. And, you know, in another aspect to this, when talking about the X's and O's of the game, rebounding. And Michigan State leads the conference, leads the Big Ten in rebounding margin. They have a +7 rebounding margin against any team they played so far this year. 38 rebounds per game. That's what this team is averaging, folks. And Penn State has not been great on the boards. It's really hard to pick and choose what Penn State has been great at this year. But, again, when looking at that, this is the type of game that you want to have at home in the friendly confines of the Breslin Center to get you back on track before you hit the road for 2 straight road games and to come back and playing a dismal Michigan squad who did get a win against Rutgers yesterday. Really interesting article that was written by our friend, of course, on Current Sports, Graham Couch. Graham Couch is a Lansing State Journal sports columnist. And, you know, I've loved how Graham kind of broke down in a various amounts of ways how Michigan State men's basketball fans should not panic. He kind of broke down the reasons as to why you should not panic, even though Michigan State has not looked great this year. And, you know, the third reason that he gave was pretty comical and pretty true, to be honest with you guys, saying that greed is asking for bad karma. Basically saying that Michigan State has endured so much success over the years, especially just looking at the football team. I mean, my goodness, Cotton Bowl wins, Rose Bowl wins. I mean, D'Antonio having double-digit win seasons in 5 of his 6 of the last 6 years. I mean, that's truly remarkable stuff. And then looking at, you know, the cross-country team, the women's cross-country team winning a national championship, the soccer team making Elite 8 appearances. I mean, you could go across the board, and there is success glaring at you in so many angles and so many directions when it comes to the green and white. So, you know, he feels as though that, you know, Michigan State, even though they're having a lot of woes this year, hey, I mean, you can't ask for too much because look at all the other success that you're having in other sports. So greed is asking for bad karma is the third reason that Graham Couch gives as to why State fans should not panic about the year so far. Pretty great art. I liked how – I tell you what, Graham Couch, he attacks so many different angles when you talk about the Michigan State teams, and this was a great angle to attack. Hats off to Graham. I really enjoyed that article. All right, folks, well, let's now transition. I want to also talk about, before we hit the first break, Alex, Tom Izzo – had some interesting comments when concerning the overall exhaustion of his players, specifically in the offseason. Now, you know, it really entered his mind and thought process when he saw what took place out in Ann Arbor over this past weekend, when talking about, of course, star guard Caris LeVert. Now, the junior guard, you know, he will miss the remainder of the season after fracturing his left foot. That happened during Saturday's win against Northwestern. Now, again, the injury comes 8 months after LeVert suffered a stress fracture on that same foot. Now, you know, stress fractures result on really just the overuse of a particular bone. And, you know, if you're constantly harping on that one area of your body, hey, it could lead to a stress fracture. So that's what happened to Caris LeVert, and it's become so serious that it led to a fracture. Now, you know, Tom Izzo talked about possibly giving his players a break during the summer to recover from the grind. This is an interesting quote. He says, quote, "This summer, boy, it's scary to say this, but there might be a month off where I say, you guys, I don't want you here. I don't want you working on your game. I have to figure this out, and I think all coaches do." And then he goes on to acknowledge that there is no easy solution to figuring out the problem on how to keep guys healthy. He went on to acknowledge that, you know, having two sport athletes kind of it puts the weight off of stress fractures and other injuries, seeing as though you're not using the same muscles over and over and over throughout an elongated period of time. You know, you use different muscles when playing the game of basketball than you do when playing football. Yeah, some may be the same, but not all of them. So, you know, he alluded to that and how back in the day, you know, when he was in college, the norm was having athletes play multiple sports. You just don't see that nowadays. And, you know, and he also went on to say, again, acknowledging that there is no easy solution to figuring out this problem, but he vowed to come up with a solution. Of course, in the time is a way. You know, that's time for you. He's going to find a way, folks. And the answer could be as simple as giving players rest. He went on to say, quote, "I am going to say I don't give a frick what they say anymore. I'm going to figure out what is right. I'm going to call coaches. I'm going to figure it out." But we are. There has been an incredible number of these stress fracture injuries. So, again, Tom Izzo just trying to figure out things. And I do agree. You know, some coaches may look at, you know, giving players, especially, you know, the grind of college basketball. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the summertime is really when you can fine-tune your game, figure out who you are as a player, gain confidence, and work on becoming a better all-around athlete. Giving your players a month off, in many people's eyes, that could be a tremendous, tremendous setback. But again, when it constitutes possible injuries of overworking your players, again, perfect example out in Ann Arbor, Caris LeVert. I mean, he was leading the team in points, rebounds, assists, steals. I mean, he was the ideal player for U of M. And then he gets injured due to overworking himself. So you have to take in consideration the possibility that you can't overwork your guys and you could be having a player like a Caris LeVert out for the rest of the season. I really think that's admirable. Will it happen? We'll see. But Tom Izzo, like I said, he's going to get to the bottom of it without a doubt. And you know, you look at it, you know, to have players, because, you know, one of the players that he cited for this whole conversation happens to be Javon Best. Of course, Javon Best is a player who is just coming off his injury and finally getting relatively healthy to play with this program. And Javon Best, if you looked up the scouting report and just, you know, opinions from different coaches who have coached Javon and fellow teammates who have played with Javon, he is notoriously known for being a gym rat, a player who never leaves the gym, who is constantly working on his game. But at the same time, you know what I mean? If you're constantly working on your game, can you overwork yourself? And Tom Izzo is worried about that aspect. And it's having to break that mentality of a gym rat can really be tough. Really, really, really be tough. So just really interesting comments that Tom Izzo would even consider that. We actually have a caller right now. And again, folks, if you want to call in, give your thoughts on anything that we talk about today or have not even got to yet, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKR. We have a tweet concerning this whole Deflategate situation. I'll read that in just a sec, but let's get to our caller on line one. It's our man Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I missed your conversation. What were you talking about the Michigan basketball and Michigan State about?
Oh, we were just talking about Tom Izzo talking about just possibly considering rethinking his whole training program in the offseason workouts. Of course, with the injury to Caris LeVert out in Ann Arbor, Caris being out for the season with that fracture on his foot, Tom Izzo is sort of reconsidering if he's overworking his players or not, and maybe even thinking about giving a month off during the summertime to his players just to get healthy. Just an interesting perspective from Tom Izzo there, Ray.
You know what gets me about the coaching on these teams that are playing the bullies every night? They don't ever shove the ball inside where their big men can beat Michigan up on the inside. I don't understand the coaching staffs of these basketball teams. That Rutgers team looked like they set back basketball 100 years last night, 54-50. Did you watch that game?
I caught a little bit of it, not a lot, though, Ray. I was actually still at work cutting some stuff up. But, no, I did see at least a stat line of Rutgers. So that's what they didn't do. You thought Rutgers should have failed the ball down low because they're pretty thin down low.
Any inside game. I don't understand these teams. They're just not doing it. But anyways, it gets tougher for them now. The Bullies got to start playing some tough teams now.
The Bullies.
Hey, going on to this, you know, you guys wondered yesterday. I don't like Seattle, but I'm rooting them big time to beat Belichick in the Cheaters.
And why is
and
that?
I'm telling you why. You know, you can say all you want to that they found out at halftime that he had that ball inflated 2 pounds less. Brady laughed about it, but he said that's the way he likes the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about one half, okay?
Right.
How many passes did Indianapolis miss by inches? 3 or 4 times on long passes. What if they'd had the same football that the Cheaters did?
Hmm. But right, I mean, looking at
totally different game in the second half. Even if they did change it in the second half to even it out. But why are these teams even got the opportunity to have those balls? Well, you're going to have a ball boy out there. If you don't do what we tell you, son, you're losing your job. So you think that ain't going to do what Belichick and the Thieves want to do?
And you know what? When you look at this situation, Ray, one of the things that really glares at you is that the reason, one of the biggest reasons why this story is getting so much attention. Now, granted, this story would certainly get attention from any playoff team who would have found to have 11 of their 12 footballs to be, you know, less inflated from the regulation it should have been. But the reason why it's so amplified is that, hey, we're talking about the New England Patriots here. I mean, this is a team that is one.
History. Go back to the 2001, the greatest show on earth, Turf.
Right.
Greatest show on Turf. They beat them, and Marshall Faulk swears right today that they screened his plays. They all knew it going into that game. You don't think that would make a difference in them upsetting St. Louis Rams that game?
Yeah, and again, this is the Patriots. I mean, they've won in 01, 03, 04. Now they got an opportunity this year to do it. I mean, the perception of the New England Patriots is a dynasty, ideally. I mean, they've been that way for so long, and now that it is coming out, it started with Spygate. If you really want to rewind the clock, it started with Spygate when it was found that Bill Belichick, when they were filming different playoff, you know, different signals on the sidelines. It got released out the can during the Patriots and Jets games, and you know, Bill Belichick got fined and so on and so forth. And the fact that now the Patriots will have that track record, anything that they do and are caught doing now, alludes to cheating. Period. That's the perception of the Patriots right now, that they are cheating.
You know what First Take said today? They said they ought to lose a first-round draft choice if it's true. But Belichick knew about this, and Belichick should be suspended for at least a year. I think he should be kicked out of the game completely because this guy's had plenty of warnings. You wonder now why he don't want to talk at the press and he gives these vague answers all the time. That's because he knows. He said, hey, I'm not going to lose again. Whatever it costs. I mean, they would have probably beat Indianapolis easily anyways. But why they have to cheat and go past the rules? He pushes it right to the limit and pass if he can get away with it.
I appreciate that perspective, Ray. And we're going to dive into it in our second segment, my man.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Great insight. Great insight, Ray. Folks, if you want to weigh in on our conversation today, again, after this break, we're going to really dive into it, and I'll peel apart some layers to this conversation that we have yet to hit on. Again, Barbershop Wednesday, Deflategate. Should the air be let out of the patch season? What do you think? Call in right now, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. We'll be right back.
Oh,
Welcome back to Current Sports, beautiful people. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have still yet to give away our tickets for tonight's men's basketball game. If you want to call in and win tickets to go to see the Spartans take on the Nittany Lions at the Breslin Center tonight at 7 p.m., call in right now and you could win those tickets. Folks, let's transition to our Barbershop Wednesday and then get to your calls on our Barbershop Wednesday topic. Of course, we are talking about Deflategate. Should the air be let out of the New England Patriots season? Here we go.
Well, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, healthy conversation, and we plan to do just that right now during this segment of Current Sports. Now, the NFL, I'm sure many of you know this, the NFL has found that 11 of the New England Patriots' 12 game balls were inflated significantly below the NFL's requirements. Now, the investigation found that the footballs were inflated 2 pounds per square inch, what's required by the NFL's regulation during the Pats' 45-7 victory over the Colts. Now, league sources have confirmed that the footballs were properly inspected and approved by referee Walt Anderson 2 hours and 15 minutes to the exact, that exact minute before kickoff, before they were returned to each team. Now, under NFL rules, no alteration of the footballs is allowed once they are approved. Well, let's start this conversation because I tell you what, it's one that has certainly sparked up tons of debate left and right on both sides of the spectrum. Now, first, I want to say this. I want to get this off my chest because I just want to get this notion out there, first off, before we dive into this. Yes, this would not have changed the outcome of the game regardless of what how many pounds the football were. Folks, they could have played with a beach ball that game, and the Patriots still would have won. Okay, and if you look at it, and not to get too X-y and O here, but they ran it through that Colts defense through much of that game. 177 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns on 40 carries. So they did it in multiple ways. So let's just get it out there. It doesn't matter what type of football was played with that game, Patriots and Colts, the Patriots were still going to win regardless. It would not have changed the outcome, folks. Now, going back to our earlier caller, Ray, I mean, he believes that many people out there believe that Bill Belichick should be punished handily for this situation. And you know what? I got to totally agree with you. Point blank, period. Especially considering the fact that Bill Belichick has been in hot water before for breaking and bending the rules of the NFL. And yes, I am talking about another gate, spy gate, that is, when he was caught filming signals on the sidelines and using those signals to his advantage. Now, you know, there's an old saying in sports and anything, really. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Folks, this goes on, and this has gone on before in the NFL. I can cite a specific example here. Do you guys remember Brad Johnson? That name ring a bell at all? Brad Johnson actually was the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in the day, folks. Brad Johnson actually admitted during the 10-year anniversary of that Bucs win, he admitted that he actually had footballs doctored for the creme de la creme of all stages in the game of football. Here's a direct quote from him. Quote, "I paid some guys off to get the balls right. I went and got all 100 footballs, and they took care of all of them." How much did it cost Johnson, folks? $7,500. Quote, "they took care of them." So this has happened before. Brad Johnson has admitted that he has had footballs doctored on the biggest stage in sports, at the Super Bowl, folks. Others have tried this. Let's be honest here. Others have probably tried this. There's just another layer to this that says that is revealed that they just haven't been caught, folks. players and coaches in any sport, it doesn't matter what sport it is, try to find advantages that, yes, could go against the grain of the rules, that push and bend that envelope just far enough to the point that a lot of them are lucky they don't get caught. The Patriots got caught red-handed, folks. I want to get to a caller right here on line two. We've got Mike, my man Mike from Saginaw. You are on Current Sports. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing there? I want to say they'd rather punish Marshawn Lynch with wearing gold shoes and not giving press interview questions than they'll punish an owner. And that's really sad because you got Ursay in Indianapolis who got busted for drunk driving and carrying prescription painkillers. And it's just like the media, they go, because the media always justify this, that they doing the job and everything else. Well, these owners, they're not going to be available for them to interview, but the players are always is. And that's what bothers me about the whole thing. It's like the NFL, is people accept whatever the NFL does, but when the NBA or MLB do it, like the MLB for steroids, the NBA because of the drug cases and stuff, it's a double standard. That means, you know, the NFL can charge whatever they want and hold cities up for ransom for the new stadiums, and looks like St. Louis is going to be moving out to Los Angeles pretty soon.
Just not to cut you off, but Mike, so basically you're saying as far as the NFL, you know, laying down the hammer here, you don't think that they're going to punish Bill Belichick and the Patriots for what they did?
They're going to punish. They're going to take some draft choices away from them because it's just too obvious now and it's just too widely reported.
Right.
They can't cover it up. The cover-up is always worse than the crime, so they caught them this time.
Right, because I'm a firm believer in, because I think that this story has gotten so much attention. I always say attention produces results, no matter what subject we're talking about. And this story has gotten so much attention across the board. I mean, you know, of course, you know, Yahoo Sports bringing up the whole Brad Johnson situation. Brad Johnson, you know, he admitted that he had balls doctored during that Super Bowl, I believe in 2002 when the Bucks won the championship, and he had 100 footballs doctored, so to speak, paid $7,500 to do it. Then you got Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you saw Aaron Rodgers went on his radio show yesterday and talked about how he would rather have basically a regulation in the NFL that says that you can be allowed to inflate a football to any capacity that you want to, a max capacity that you want to, but you should have a limit as to how much air you can let go out of that football. Well, and he came out and waited on it. So and then you have the vice president.
Hell, this is a good point. Why can't the league do this instead of the teams do it? That's what I want to know. In baseball, you have the league take over for their playoffs and World Series, and in basketball, it's the same way. Why can't the league do it? Why the hell do teams always have to handle the ball?
Well, hey, that's another logistical question that I honestly can't answer, Mike. But you know, the thing about that's far above my pay grade, brother. But
I'm just thinking about that. You know, what about here's a better question. When high school, what about the Michigan Athletic High School Association?
Okay.
Do they let the home team handle the ball, or are you going to get your size to work?
Well,
on
it's
that?
Funny because I was actually doing some research as far as how high school sports are handled and making sure that their equipment is regulatory and suitable for game action. And those referees, they check the balls, they check everything beforehand as well. Now, and again, you know, this happened actually, you know, and going back to the story, you know, the balls were checked 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff by referee Walt Anderson.
Yeah, and because I've seen it on NFL films before. They show them how they manufacture the ball and the amount of air they put into them. Now, I've seen it on one of those NFL films presents or one of those shows where all these stories and everything. I just want to know why this story, and it's funny in this day and age where you got tons of media. They got their own network. You don't have, like, the three major networks and, you know, the people who pay to carry the games. Why is the news always coming from a third-party source? It's never coming from the original source. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, with the investigation, you know, that Chris Mortensen did, you know, just looking at that investigation, I mean, the investigation has been – it's not fully completed yet. So there are a few questions that still need to be answered. as to, you know, how the balls got to a lower level of PSI than what they were supposed to be. And you know, again, this wouldn't have been reported if it wasn't for that Jackson interception in the second quarter when he went and said, "Hey, what's going on here? You know what I mean? This ball seems to not be of standard." And it kind of trickled down from there. So the investigation has been found again that 11 of those 12 game balls were inflated significantly below the NFL's requirements. That's what we do know. That's what we can only go off.
What about the punters and the field goal kickers? Do they have a special ball they kick?
No, I think it's the same ball, Mike.
Okay. All right, because I noticed in years ago in college football, especially when the field goals was going to get ready to kick, they put a different ball out there for them to kick the football. It's really a good topic.
But it wouldn't have mattered, though. You know what I mean? On Sunday, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, a 45-7 whomping of the Colts.
Sure.
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered at all.
Well, let me ask you something about the other game, the Seattle and the Green Bay, before I let you move on to other callers here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, do you think Green Bay, because of the fans, they seem like they're more forgiving, they ain't as mad and hostile about the game, and a lot of fans, it seem like, I'm listening to various talk shows, it's like the way that Green Bay kind of played the last few minutes and in the overtime, that they fans are not mad, it seems like they fans are more happy about the season. And I thought that was really nice coming from the fans because, you know, you always – it's like every time somebody loses, always certain people's fault, the ref's fault. It's no sportsmanship in professional sports, but then we tell kids to be sportsmanlike. So that's what I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah.
It's a sportsmanship issue.
I think it all depends on the team as well. I mean, because you saw how – and deservedly so, how many Lions fans were upset with, you know, how the outcome with the Dallas Cowboys ensued, because the Lions haven't won a Super Bowl ever. You know what I mean? And to have it sort of kind of snatched right out of their hands when the momentum was shifting, a key point in the game where the refs admit that they blew the call. I mean, to have it snatched away that type of way when Detroit doesn't have a storied legacy of playoff success, I mean, that hurts. Green Bay has. I mean, you could go back to the Brett Favre era alone. They've won championships. They've been there before. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who, you know, again, I think if you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, you know, you might have had a different story in that game. But it all depends on the franchise.
They didn't score. They kept kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remit. This is the Detroit Lions. This is the only original established football team that ever went to a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I was just counting on my hand. I said it's four teams that haven't been to the Super Bowl. Every other team been to the Super Bowl except them and the three new teams. And I just shake my head. I just want to know. I know the system, they talk about parity in the NFL and everything, but you think over that period of time, they would at least got to the Super Bowl just once.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Moving along. Thanks, Al.
All right. Appreciate it, my man. Again, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So go back. Barbershop Wednesday, folks. Deflategate. Should the air be let out of the Pats season? Again, for me, I think you have to deliver a hefty fine for Bill Belichick, and you have to suspend him for at least a few games to start the year. How many? You know, maybe 3-4. He can't coach to start next year is basically what I'm saying. And a fine needs to be laid down because he is a repeated offender of going against the rules in the NFL. And again, you can't allow this. Again, perception is everything, you know, and the perception of the NFL is everything. Anytime you have a PR controversy on your hands when it comes to the most important league in the entire nation, I mean, you had the Ray Rice domestic violence issue. Before then, you had the concussion issue that many people harp down on you. And now, even though I think this is totally, definitely less serious than those two issues, you still have a PR controversy on your hand where a team who's at the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, a lot of questions come to mind. How long have they been doing this? You know, and at the end of the day, you got to lay down the hammer in some regard. Alex, we haven't heard your thoughts on it, my man. How you doing?
Whew, I'm doing all right, man, trying to decipher all these different viewpoints on this. But look, let's look at it this way. You look at baseball, a sport that you've seen so many tainted things. You see the cork bats. You see the pine tar on the hands. You see something with the baseball sometimes. So when you're looking at a sport like baseball, and this is why I'm bringing this up, the altercations that come with baseball, such as a corked bat or pine tar, that helps them throw the ball faster, or that helps them hit the ball a little bit farther. So it alters actual performance when it comes to baseball. when you compare it to an instance like this with deflated footballs, this is only for the team of the Patriots that won. It would be different if the balls were deflated, I think, for the Colts. Because if you have deflated footballs, it's a little bit of a different argument if it helps or hurts you if you throw the ball a little bit faster. But in this case, I don't think that it has anything to do with speed here. When I think of a deflated football, I think more on the grip side of things if you're a quarterback. The deflated football helps you grip the ball more. I mean, even for me, just throwing the football myself, if I have a little bit of a football that's a little bit more deflated, it's easier to grip the football. Sometimes if it's hard, if it's cold, I mean, you're playing in New England here. That's a cold place to play. If it's cold, no matter even if you have gloves on, it's a little bit more difficult to grip that hard football with the leather and the laces in the weather circumstances. So for me, I don't think it's anything altering, like you said, Al, from the game. But the rules are rules. If they're saying it has to be a certain amount, if it has to be a certain amount of square inch below of the NFL regulations, then you have to do that. I don't think personally, Al, it should dictate the season or the Super Bowl. I think a fine. If you're talking about Belichick, yeah. It is under the head coach, I guess. Technically, it is under his range. But who knows? We don't even know if Brady or Belichick knew about it. It could have been something that the ball guys did. So there's a lot of question marks here. I think that we have to see what really comes out of this situation. But overall, I think this is kind of being a little bit overblown. I get that it's part of the rules and it's in the rule book, but I don't think it's anything altering. And I think it's something that fans just need a little bit of something to talk about because of that basic blowout you saw for the Pats and Colts game.
Well, I always say rules are set in place for a reason. And once you break those rules and go against the grain of the norm, then things become sticky. And that's why this is getting so much attention. And again, this is the Patriots we're talking about. I think if this was another team that we're talking about, maybe a team that even lost a game, it does not get that much attention because they are not the New England Patriots. Again, Bill Belichick is a coach who has won more playoff games than any other coach in the history of the game. Than any other coach. The Patriots, the storied history, the 01, 03, and 04 championships, now the fact that they're back here. Tom Brady, who can possibly go down as a top five quarterback to ever play in the NFL. This is such a storied franchise, and the fact that they have yet another situation, not one, but now two situations, where they have broken the rules, a lot of people are ticked off about it. And deservedly so. That's why it's getting so much attention, and that is why the NFL has to do something about it. Now, going back to the logistics of the situation, I definitely agree with you. The football, when it's not deflated, it allows you, especially in weather circumstances where it is tremendously cold out there, because we all know, I mean, you probably play backyard football in the wintertime. If a football is inflated to its highest capacity, it feels like a rock in your hand. It's more prone to slip out of your hand. You let a little bit of air out that, the leather bends a little bit, and you can enhance that grip. And it's also easier to catch, to be honest with you. I mean, it offers a little bit of cushion. So, yeah, it offers an advantage. How big that advantage is, I think that argument gets a little bit of air let out of it, okay? Now, and again, it all depends on, you know, who has this advantage. Because, again, a deflated football, you know, again, how big of an advantage is that? I mean, just for an example, I mean, how much of a difference would an inflated football do for my accountant or my financial advisor? None, really, because they don't play the game of football. For Tom Brady, yeah. I mean, we're talking about one of the best to ever play. Giving him any advantage in the game may be a significant one. But again, the outcome for the Colts, not so much. Everyone cheats, Alex. I'm pretty sure that you can pinpoint, if you really did want to really dive into this thing and do some in-depth investigations game by game on a game-by-game basis, you will find multiple teams who have tried this. They just have not gotten caught. And the Patriots' luck is just so bad that they have been caught not once, but twice.
Yeah. Just to also throw another angle into this thing, you might have to kind of take it to the science lab here, and here's why. I mean, if you play basketball in warm weather, right, you're playing basketball, Al, back growing up, when it's hot outside, that heat gets into that ball, and it helps the air, aids the air. If you're playing in cold conditions, and this is 2 hours before the start of the game, the ball is bound to lose some air. There's no way that you can put a ball in that 10 degree, whatever degree it was in that kind of weather and expect for it to be the exact same weight that it was when you started with. And you're going throughout that game, it's going to lose some air. People are catching the ball. The ball's losing a little bit of air. One, we don't know when this weight was taken. This could have been an hour after the game was over. Yeah, the ball's going to be way lower. Two, you also don't know when exactly pinpointing when the game was started. You don't know who had the balls. Was it the trainers? Was it the the guys on the sidelines with the measuring sticks? Is it the ball guy? You don't really know.
Well, it does say that the referees, after that interception was made and was nettled, the refs were notified at halftime, they took measurements at halftime, and that's when they found that the PSIs were significantly lower than what they should be. Now, it didn't get released till yesterday as to how many of those balls had low PSIs, and that came out yesterday, last night.
Yeah, but even if it's at halftime, that's 4 hours. 4 hours, so we'd have to really look in climates such as New England. We have to look at the climates, and maybe in Lambeau too, and kind of compare and see if they correlate to cold weather climates and what the weight of the ball is after halftime. I just think there are so many aspects to this story involves some research.
I think we can agree on one thing, though. I don't even know if we even need to go that far. If you break the rules, you need to be punished. The Patriots obviously broke the rules here. It's no coincidence that 11 of your 12 footballs on the sidelines were deflated. They got to be punished, and they got to be punished handily. Bill Belichick should not coach to start the year next season. Point blank, period, because it's under his watch. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by talking about another investigation that's taking place, not at the professional ranks, but in college, folks. Yes, the NCAA. Don't go anywhere. We'll find out what that is and get our opinions on it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, tonight, folks, at 6 p.m., I'll be sitting down with a mid-Michigan coaching legend. He actually holds the record for the most high school basketball games coached on the sidelines in the state of Michigan. That's right. Ithaca girls basketball coach Bob Anderson joins me tonight. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Alex, did we have anybody winning tickets?
We did. We did have somebody win, and actually, he actually asked us a question as well. But the winner is Dan Goucher from Hazlitt, so we'll be giving Dan a call after the show. But he was wondering, with the rules and regulations as well, back to this Deflategate issue, he was wondering basically, you know, who really regulates and what are the regulations that goes into the football during the game. But as we discussed, Al, we did talk about the pounds per square inch required. We did discuss that the refs weighed the ball at halftime. So hopefully, Dan, that we answered your questions. But yeah, congrats on the tickets.
And more will come out. Again, we're just scratching the surface of this. The investigation and other questions have not been released yet. This is just a peek into the already cracked window. So thanks a lot, though. Congratulations. That's big. Also, Andrew Hayes on my Twitter page here wants to weigh in really quick. Andrew did a great job with us last semester with our student core group who worked on Current Sports. He says, does this affect the game? Probably not. It is still against the rules. Everyone does it, doesn't work. So there you go. Again, those who get caught must be punished. And I agree, Andrew. Patriots are caught red-handed in this one. Also, another investigation, just really briefly to close out the show here, folks. The NCAA is actually really, really going in-depth into this one. They have actually decided to, now again, to read directly from the article, it's actually on sportsillustrated.com. Go to si.com to check out this one. And we'll definitely continue this conversation because this one has a lot of layers as well. But the NCAA's head of enforcement told the Chronicle's Brad Wolverton that it is investigating 20 schools for academic misconduct. Now, according to the report, the cases being investigated are in various stages, from the preliminary inquiry to schools waiting to hear back from the Committee on Infractions. Now, some of the alleged infractions concerns athletes receiving impermissible assistance from professors, academic advisors, or people not connected with an athletic department. interesting stuff here. And you know what? You know, there's always a myth. Even when I would, you know, in college, and it probably still exists today. It has to exist today, without a doubt. You know, there used to always be a rumor that, oh man, maybe the big time athletes, do they even have to go to class, or do they get a pass? You know what I mean? You know, back, you know, when I'm in college, and you had like the, you know, the Derek Nixes of the world, the Kalen Lucases of the world, you know, the Andrew Maxwells of the world. Do those guys get a pass in the classroom? That was always the buzz around town. And you know what? Yeah, there is definitely proof to it in some circumstances. If you remember, in recent months, at least four schools have actually come under the NCAA's disapproval. Specifically, North Carolina, who found that advisors guided athletes to take classes they did not have to show up for and receive grades to help them become eligible. Last summer, the school reopened that 2011 investigation of academic irregularities at the school. I can even go back to Weber State. Weber State was placed on 3 years probation and had scholarships reduced in its football program after finding that a math instructor helped players cheat on quizzes and tests. So, I mean, there's other examples that I will certainly bring up tomorrow, but that, again, we'll, just to start that discussion, does it happen? Yeah. How often and at what schools? Well, again, this investigation will allude to possibly some proof in that regard. And again, how many schools do it? Is it happening here at Michigan State? Who knows? We have no proof to go off. But it does go on, folks. It does go on. And, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, the statement of how powerful athletics have become in today's society. It's certainly true, because we all know that college athletics is so money-driven nowadays. I mean, just look at the coverage that this most recent NCAA championship, football championship, got. The first time we've ever had a playoff to decide the NCAA football championship. Look at how much attention it got. Look at the, you know, the amount of people who attended the game. Look at all of the different coverages on ESPN, the different camera angles. I mean, it's unbelievable how much money has been influxed into universities now based on the coverage of college athletics. Certainly peaks open a window into that as well, as to even the conversation of college athletes, whether or not they should be paid or not. But, you know, do they get extra benefits, you know, in the classroom based on their athletic prowess? It does happen, folks, and we'll discuss that on tomorrow's Current Sports. We unfortunately are out of time. Though, again, remind you all that tonight at 6 p.m., I'll be sitting down with Bob Anderson, who is the head coach right now of the Ithaca girls basketball team. It should be a fantastic episode. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, go to WKAR.org to sign up online for free. We'll have Throwback Thursday. We'll discuss the NCAA academic misconduct situation and so much more on tomorrow's show. Thanks to all of you who tuned into today's Current Sports and called in on our conversation and discussion. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic and warm hump day. And be easy, people.